Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, July 16th, 2012. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you from Anaheim, California. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, A Dating Prescription May Be Just What the Doctor Ordered, with my guest, Wilma Stordahl, creator of the blog, MyDatingPrescription.com. Today's show is being brought to you by ABookIn90Days.com, a customized coaching program for heart-based coaches, entrepreneurs, and speakers who want to write a book to attract more clients and increase profits. You can get your copy of the 7-Step Roadmap to Publishing Success, How to Write a Nonfiction Book in 90 Days, over at abookin90days.com. I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. Some of you are listening after the fact from the archive. Some of you have actually set up your iTunes subscription, and then there are those of you who are live on the call today. In any case, thank you for joining us. In order to get an announcement and get a reminder in your email, be sure to click the follow button under my photo on the show page. The show page is at blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. To get at that goal, each week I interview guests from many different fields, such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change, and adversity. We talk about parenting sometimes, wealth creation, business success, career, you name it, all those things which contribute to lasting happiness. Today's episode, A Dating Prescription, Maybe Just What the Doctor Ordered, with my guest, Wilma Stordahl, is an exciting topic that many of us have had interest in, and I'm happy that I was able to get Wilma to come on. Let me tell you a little bit about her first. On September 16, 2010, Wilma's husband returned from a 2-week vacation with his family in South America. His flight arrived at 11 p.m., and she had gone to pick him up from the airport. They were home for 10 minutes when she realized that he was not wearing his wedding ring. When she asked about the location of his ring, he announced that while he was in Colombia, he was telling his family members that he was going to be getting a divorce. Now, it's a nice way for her to find out, huh? Wilma was understandably humiliated, angry, and scared. She said words could not convey the emotions that went through her at that moment. Now, Wilma decided that she could sit around feeling sorry for herself, or she could get on with her life. She had already spent way too many evenings waiting for him to come home, and so stressed out over their relationship over the years, she had spent too much time eating and drinking carbs, mostly red wine, and gaining 80 pounds over the course of their marriage. Yes, she could continue to feel sorry for herself, but she had already given too much of herself and enough of herself to this man. So several sessions with a therapist later, she decided that she could make the most of this new opportunity. Her therapist suggested that she start dating again. Hence the name of her blog, My Dating Prescription. So she put on her big girl panties and got back out there. She describes herself as an overweight 44-year-old, soon-to-be divorced mother of 3 sons, and she is taking no prisoners. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Wilma Stordahl. Hi, Wilma.
Hi, Flora.
I like that. Put on my big girl panties and get back out there. And I want to double check something. I said your show, your blog ended in .com. Is that correct? Is it .com?
It is. It's okay. MyDatingPrescription.com, yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to check because sometimes we assume that everything is .com, but it's not always. Well, I am so happy that you made time to be here because even though a lot of women may not admit it, many of us are in a similar situation, maybe not the identical, but similar, and that is that we're ready to get back into the dating game. We're ready to seek a new partner, but we are afraid. We don't know how to start. So I want to commend you for two things before we start. One is for seeking help from a therapist, because too many of us try to figure things out alone. We try to figure things out on our own, and that doesn't typically work very well, because if we could do that, we wouldn't be in the situations we were in, would we? And then secondly, I want to commend you for your courage to share your experiences with the world, because when you go on a blog and you share what's going on with your life, you're sharing it with the entire world, because anyone has access to it. And that's so brave of you, and yet it's so good for us, because we can all benefit from what you're sharing. So I want to get started. My first question is, what did you think when your therapist said, date 100 men before you get serious with one?
Well, to be quite frank, I thought he was the crazy one. No, not that I thought I was crazy for going to a therapist. You know, I certainly don't believe that. I think, no. You know, I was there, like you said, for the right reasons, to try to figure out what I had done wrong. Mm-hmm. Or maybe not what I had done wrong, but how I could avoid doing what I had done in the first place again.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, when he said go date 100 men without getting serious, the first blog post of my blog basically lays out that conversation, and I, you know, a couple of things that I said to him were basically along the lines of, you know, you've been happily married for a while. What do you mean go date? Do you know anything about dating? it's a hard world out there. From what I understand. So. Yeah, I thought he might be the one that needed therapy, but it was a scary thought.
Yeah,
you know, it was really a scary thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, so. 100 men—that sounds like that's probably more than most women date in their entire lives before they get married. So that's a lot. What was the scariest part about stepping back into the dating game? Because one of the challenges we have is if we're 40, 50, or older. The way dating was done when we were teenagers is different from the way it's being done now. So what was the scariest part about getting back into the dating game? What did you worry about the most?
Well, I think for me, I was scared of being judged.
Okay.
You know, the last time I had dated, I didn't have my extra 80 pounds. Mm-hmm. I was younger. I was, you know, I certainly felt that I looked better. I thought I was going to be more, you know, I thought that I was more attractive back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this feeling like, you know, maybe all men want a Victoria's Secret model and I'm not that,
mm-hmm.
you know, probably never have been even when I was younger, but I mean, this feeling of being judged for all mm-hmm. sorts of reasons, you know, judged mm-hmm. for, you know, and then you get older and you got a little bit of life experience behind you. Suddenly you can be judged for all those things that have added up to the person you are today. And I think meeting the right person involves finding somebody who's not going to necessarily judge you for those experiences, but look mm-hmm. at those experiences as the milestones that have created the person that they now find themselves in front of, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that was big. I just, you know, cause you can have folks that, you know, it's like, well, what happened with your divorce, or, you know, was it your fault, or this kind of
mm-hmm.
thing, and
mm-hmm.
so just that whole judgment aspect of it.
Yeah, and yet you forged forward. How did you overcome that fear?
Well, it didn't happen right away. A couple things happened. One was that so initially, you know, I didn't just jump right back out there. This process,
sure.
From the time that my therapist said, go date 100 men, to the time that I actually started dating anyone was probably a period of about 4 to 5 months.
Mm, okay.
And in that time span, I jokingly had said to my friends, oh, this is what my therapist thinks I should do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say that my friends were very integral to giving me the courage to take some baby steps to get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
One really important conversation for me happened on New Year's Eve of 2010. And by that time, my therapist had given me this prescription, but I had not acted on it at all. And this friend of mine and I, we were sitting up well past midnight, you know, after the fireworks and everything had gone off, and we were talking about her experiences of dating online, and she's also a woman who is she's divorced and over 50, and you know, we just talked, and I asked her where she was meeting guys and how she found it to be, and you know, she gave me some of the good stories and some of the bad stories, and she just said, you know, you need to just get back out there. And so you hear that enough, and you figure, okay, I'll try that, you know. But I was still very worried about being judged, and I think I was putting too much. I think initially I was putting too much, letting the guy in the situation have too much power.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you read, I think it's very subtle in my blog as it's happening. I think it's really subtle, but if you look at like my reaction to having my first date.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm struggling to get my Spanx on because I don't want him to see how, you know, I don't want to see everything coming through the, you know, I was afraid of him getting there first and me having to walk, you know, through the bar that we were meeting at to,
uh-huh.
you know, and having him see me walk, you know, 80 pounds
yes.
heavier than I,
yes.
all of this, you know, I was very, very worried about that. And that's something that does not happen to me. I wouldn't say that it doesn't happen to me at all. But it doesn't happen to me to the same extent. I leave the Spanx alone now. They get what they get.
They get, that's right. And what you see is what you're going to get, huh?
Well,
it sounds like you had to change your thinking in order to even approach it. And you pointed out something that is extremely important, and I think all of us need to hope to have this in our lives, and that is supportive friends and also someone who has already gone before you and done what it is you're trying to do. It may not always be a friend, but talking to someone or reading about someone, just like reading your blog, helps the rest of us because it's someone who's done that, who's done what we're trying to do, and it does give you courage, and that's why it's important to have those people in your life one way or the other. So you were fortunate. Now, which number guy are you on since you're going for 100? Where are you now with this?
I've actually had 31 dates so far, or with 31 different men,
okay.
But I have only managed to blog. I got a little bit of a backlog on my blogging. I'm only blogged up to 27 so far.
Okay.
The last
okay.
one is number 27.
Well,
yeah.
I imagine as you go, it gets harder because you have your life, your sons, you have other stuff going on too, so getting it blogged takes time. But
yes.
What's the most important thing that you've learned about yourself? Because I suspect that in this process, you're learning a lot about yourself. So by date 31, what are the most important things you've learned?
Well, I think there's actually a couple of things. And one I would say I've learned from this process of blogging and writing about it, and the other one I would say that I've probably learned from marriage in general.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, the process of blogging about it, or at least I think a lot of people approach dating kind of like you said about, you know, the fact that I went to a therapist to
mm-hmm.
try to figure some things out. I think a lot of people kind of go through life a little blind.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people approach dating the same way, and they end up not understanding why they keep picking the same people or why they
mm-hmm.
keep doing the same things. And
mm-hmm.
I think that by... And not that everybody has to write a blog about it, but I think if a person just makes some notes to themselves about, okay, I met this person and there was no chemistry, but what was it about that chemistry that didn't work,
mm-hmm.
you know, or why wouldn't I want to, like, what is some red flag that pops up, you know, and making some notes about that, because I think if we just push those things aside and try to ignore them, they end up popping up later.
Yes.
Always, you know.
Yes.
And that's why I would say that I learned from my marriage. When my husband and I were dating, there were certainly red flags that I probably should have been paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, I wanted to be married so bad. You
mm-hmm.
know, I had the whole kind of Cinderella, I wanted to be a princess in the wedding and the
sure.
thing like that.
Sure.
You know, I wanted that. I really wanted that. And I wanted a man that was going to profess his love for me, and by him asking me to marry him, that's what that meant for me and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But to tell you the truth, I mean, the things that were red flags while we were dating
mm-hmm.
became bigger issues once we were in the marriage. And
mm-hmm.
I think that for me then, this whole process of having them married and now going back out and dating, now when I see those things that could potentially be these bigger issues when you're, you know, when you're planning on spending the rest of your life with someone,
mm-hmm.
I'm less apt to just brush those aside and pretend like they don't make any difference.
That's right. That's right. I was going to ask you that next about reflecting on your marriage, because I think that in situations where marriage has ended in divorce or something like that, that you do need to reflect, even if it's ended in death. I'm a widow. Even in reflecting on your relationship before you move on to another one is very important, because as you mentioned somewhere along in your notes, that you found out what was important to you and you found out what the deal breakers are. And this is extremely important for women before moving into new relationships, because like you say, we went in with blinders on, we went in with the Cinderella story, most of us, many of us. And this is just not a good way to go in. So what advice can you share with other women who want to resume dating, especially regarding expectations, their expectations?
I think that expectations need to be kept kind of on the, at least for a first date. I think, and this is for men and women, I think mm-hmm. to keep the expectations very open. I don't want to say low,
mm-hmm.
because I think it's okay to have high expectations in terms of what you want,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think a person should approach dating thinking like, okay, I'm going to go on this first date, and this is going to be the man that's going to be my prince,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all of that. I think you're setting yourself up for a lot of disappointment if you do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a first date is very difficult. You know, we're talking about first impressions, and
sure.
and there have been a handful of men while I've been doing this where I've gone on second and third dates because
mm-hmm.
the first date was good enough to justify maybe a second one. And I've always said that I was never going to just throw a good man away either, you
sure.
know,
sure.
if I thought one were to pop up. But I would say that keeping expectations realistic
mm-hmm.
is really, really important, because I know that even amongst friends of mine who have, I had a couple friends of mine who said, oh, you're an inspiration for me, I'm going to go out and I'm going to online date now. So
mm-hmm.
they set up their profiles and they decided to do that. And then like a month later, after about four dates or maybe even less than that, they were like, I'm done, you know, because online dating is not easy. There's a, mm-hmm. you know, and it's funny you made the comment about people dating maybe not 100 people in their whole lifetime.
Yes.
And I think for some people that's true, but I think
mm-hmm.
that especially in this age of online dating, it's kind of like a numbers game. If you think about
yes.
how many emails you exchange with somebody before you decide to meet or not meet them,
mm-hmm.
and then how many people you actually meet, and then who might actually turn out to be somebody you want to date again, I mean, it's almost
mm-hmm.
like... it's almost like a sales game, you know?
Yeah, sure.
You get to
yeah.
have this many prospects. And,
exactly.
You know, yeah. And so I think that the first date, it's just what it is. It's a meeting to see if you click more. And I think
mm-hmm.
My advice would basically be don't get your expectations, you know, on a relationship before you've had that first date.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, even if you've had some amazing emails with people, because that's one thing that can happen with online dating is you can end up exchanging some really great, you know, emails back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you meet the person, and in person, you just have no chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they'd make a great friend, but they, you know, may not be somebody who you'd want to, you know, date long term or
mm-hmm.
be in a marriage with.
Mhm. Mhm. Speaking of online dating, what tips and strategies could you share with us that specifically relate to online dating? You know, what things do we need to be prepared to do or say online? And are there any sites you could warn us to stay away from that have been totally awash, in your opinion?
It's funny. So. There's Let's see. So there's my big tip would be yourself. I mean, that seems kind of trite, but definitely just be yourself. Don't try to, in all of this, I think that's the most important thing, because down the line you're going to find out anyway who mm-hmm. they really are, and they're going to find out who you are. I've tried different things with my profile. You definitely have to have a recent picture, because there's no sense in going on a bunch of dates if they see you and you don't look anything like your picture and you've built up an expectation in their mind. And this goes for men and women too. I had one of my posts is called the Italian Grandpa, but it's il mio nonno italiano, basically, mm-hmm. which means my Italian grandpa. Mm-hmm. And I wrote that because in his pictures he looked like he was this, you know, gorgeous Italian man in his, you know, early 40s. Mm-hmm. And he turned out to be, you know, 60 years old. Nothing wrong with that, but I wish I'd mm-hmm. known before I went on a date with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Wow.
So, I mean, you don't want to false advertise.
No, not right.
And I've experimented a little bit with how I write my profile. Mm-hmm. And I have it a couple of different ways. And what I've found is that the one that I've written is a little more intelligent and thoughtful. Actually ends up getting me dates with men who are probably more likely to be men that I would want to date again.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of a funny thing, you know, unfortunately, but the higher, and maybe you know this, Dr. Brown, the more degrees you have, the higher degrees you have and the more intelligent you are, the more difficult it becomes to find men.
Men who aren't intimidated.
Who want to date you because they typically want someone that they feel equal to or more intelligent than. But what I found is by writing a more intelligent profile, it actually attracts some of those guys that I would be interested
good.
In.
That's good.
Yeah, so I would say that don't be afraid to be intelligent, because you'll be wasting less of your time.
Right. Okay. And what
right.
about the some of those profiles? They people say, "I'm looking for my soulmate for a lifetime of bliss" or some such thing.
No.
I think the word soulmate should be eliminated from any profile.
Yeah, there's a few things that a lot of people say that I just think are said so much that it becomes absolutely meaningless. You know.
Right. Right.
And that is probably one of them.
Yes.
I think it's fine to say that you're looking for a long-term relationship and this is what you're looking for and being specific about that. But, but you know, soulmate doesn't tell them anything. It doesn't tell them specifics about who you are and what you're looking for. And I think, you know, sometimes, I think sometimes as women we're afraid to ask for what we want.
Yes.
And I think that that's a mistake. I think that we should be specific.
Yes.
Because... you know, why bother with the guy who's not going to give you that?
Exactly.
So you know, but we're afraid of scaring off these guys, you know.
And some you want to scare off. What do you think with the profile is better to talk about yourself or better to talk about what you're looking for in a relationship? You know, like hitting your high points, or I'm just kind of thinking about it like with a job. Resume or this job letter of application, you kind of hit your best features and the benefits of hiring you. Is that kind of the approach you take with your profile?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I talk about myself and I describe who I am. And then I would say that the ratio of what I say about myself and what I say I'm looking for is probably about 80-20.
Okay.
Because what I've seen people do, you see this a lot with guys, they'll do this thing where they list all the attributes of the woman that they want, and what it ends up looking like, what often happens, if there's any guys listening to your program today, they should take note of this, because I think what happens is you get this long laundry list, and this happens with women too.
Mm-hmm.
You get this long laundry list of what the person is looking for, and you're reading through their profile, and you go, "Well, I don't fit that. I don't fit that. I don't. But if you say who you are, and they're attracted to that, then they can decide that they want to contact you because they think that they would be a good fit for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you give this long list of the things you're looking for, they might decide to not contact you because they don't feel they live up to
they
that
fit.
List.
Right.
When, in fact, they might.
Right, right, right. Okay, I see what you mean. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you another thing before we run out of time. In the process of chronicling your dates and sharing your experiences with the rest of us and the rest of the world, have any of these men known about your blog or later balked about being mentioned? I know you don't name names, but you name experiences, and you kind of give a little name to each date, even though it's not the real names. I think that's funny. Have any of them complained or been aware that they were written up later?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
That's a yes to both questions. Yes, I have told. There's probably about half of the men on the blog know that they were, you know, on the blog.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have balked. Some of them have. What I did initially was I actually placed a Craigslist ad because this is one of the places where this friend of mine had said that she was meeting people. Now I would have never thought to go to Craigslist because I've heard such horror stories about it. And I think you have to be very careful about that. I will say that.
Yeah.
But I was very specific about saying this is what I'm doing. I just placed an ad that said, I am doing this blog, you know, and if you are somebody who would be interested in going on a date, let me know. And
awesome.
I got a bunch of emails. And so it was very interesting because in that period of time, I ended up meeting a lot of men who I sort of ended up calling misfit daters, and I include myself in that group.
Mm-hmm.
And misfit dater was somebody who, like myself, was just out of a marriage,
mm-hmm.
was just getting back out there, were kind of muddling along, didn't know what we were doing and what to expect. And it was really interesting because of my disclosure, the fact that I was doing this blog, you know, I ended up going on a lot of dates that were with men who were in that same position that I was, and it was it actually made it very comfortable and very easy, and for both of us then, it meant that there was no expectation of anything more than just a date. And I think, you know, for some, I did have a couple problems with a couple of guys who, after the fact, because, you know, two people go on a date, they have two different perceptions of what happened.
The date. Sure.
And so I had a couple of problems with a couple of men who, after I wrote it up, didn't like what they read. And both of them tried to exert some editorial control. And to a point where, in both cases, I ended up taking out the part that they found offensive. Yeah, I have had people balk at that as well, even when they knew that they were going to be written about.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
What has been the best result of following your dating prescription for you? The very best result?
Well, it's funny because it's one of those things where you just start doing it and without really much of an expectation of what's going to happen. And now I end up having people kind of approach me as a dating expert, which it's like, oh, I don't know about that, but it's kind of an interesting dilemma to have. but I think the best part, the best result is really the process of getting to know myself.
Right.
And it's a feeling of empowerment too, of feeling that, you know, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. It's not just about a man judging me. It's about me choosing the man I want to be with.
Yes.
And, that's important. I mean, I think as women sometimes we try too hard to please. And I think for me that has been empowering.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you so much. We've run out of time for today's show. This has been great. All of you who have been intrigued by Wilma's story, go over and visit her blog, mydatingprescription.com. And also be sure to join me again next Monday for another informative and exciting show. I am Flora Brown coming to you from Anaheim, California. And as always, I'm going to ask you to have a blessed week. And remember to color your life happy.